This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everyone. We're here this morning with
my buddy and Heartwood Outdoorsman, Tracy Gross. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Alan?
Good, good, good. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a pre-recorded show this morning, and we are not going to be here this Saturday. We're in the woods. Tracy's in the woods. I'm in the woods. It's Youth Day. It's Youth Turkey Day. And both of us have opportunities this morning, and so we'll let you know how that works out. I've got Jacob down in Anne Arundel County this morning, and you've got a handful.
Yeah,
you've got your arms full.
Yeah, we're going to have several kids from West Virginia and Pennsylvania, and several from West Virginia will be meeting at the Heartwood Outdoors Outreach Center for a good old early morning turkey hunt. And I tell you, the birds are gobbling, that's for sure.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. This is probably, the Youth Turkey Day is probably the best day to get out there, not for the adults, but for the kids. I mean, if they're going to shoot a turkey, early on is usually a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it is. You know, I've been watching the birds for last week and a half, and for this year, they're right where they're supposed to be. You know, the birds, the weather has just absolutely been perfect. The birds are in their normal breeding cycle exactly where they should be. Transition one, you know, turkeys go through three transitions on their breeding season, and they're right at the beginning part of transition one, which is when they're out looking for their harem, they're gathering their harem. So most of the time in that case, it's almost like transition three where they're just wild and crazy and ready to let go. And so it should be really good if the weather cooperates. The birds are gobbling good. They're out looking for their harem. And so it should be real exciting. Youth Day is always good. That first early morning call, they come a-looking.
And that I was listening to something the other day. I can't remember what it was, but the hunter or whoever it was, I might have been on TV, I don't know, the point he made was you want to be the first hen that gobbler hears in the morning. You want to be the first encounter that he has. I don't know if that's your philosophy or...
That's true. You know, turkey hunting, there is no rules.
Yeah, that's true.
Every situation, every setup is totally different. That is true to some degree, because if there is if that gobbler hears you first, if it's very soft, then he knows that you're there and he knows exactly where you're at the minute that you put that call on. But then on the other hand, if there's another a hen there that is your dominant hen and she hears you, then she's going to fly down early and take him with her. So every little situation is different. You just have to be able to listen to what the birds are doing and kind of go from there.
Yeah. I like the setup where you walk in and blow them off the roost.
That's not very good.
No. I know.
Yeah. So that's normally not a good situation. You know, weather, I had that situation happen to me in Florida there last week. We had a bird located the evening before. I just got off the plane, went straight to the woods. And, you know, we had a bird roosted, and I thought I knew where it was, and the guys with me thought he knew where it was. And so we went with his plan, and we walked in, and sure enough, sat right down underneath the bird, and that was the only bird we heard gobble in 4 days.
You finally wound up getting one, though.
Yeah, I did end up getting one.
Now, you said Florida. That's an Osceola. That's not an Eastern, right?
That's correct. It's the Osceola. So I finally finished my slam out, and it wasn't the easiest hunt. I've been to Florida now 3 times. And I did it kind of different than most people. You know, I'm a big public land kind of guy, and so I wasn't going to spend, you know, the kind of money that they want to kill an Osceola. So I went down and did it the hard way, and the birds were not gobbling at all. They were already done breeding, and so we just set up one of my kind of, every day coming back from lunch, I've seen birds cross this road, and finally I just decided to camp out there and ended up shooting a nice bird.
Yeah, good. Osceola, here in Maryland, we've got the Eastern
bird.
In the Midwest, they have
the Rios.
And then in the far west, they have the Rio Grande. Merriam's, yes, Merriam's, right, yeah, exactly. So. And that's the U.S. slam, the 4 different subspecies.
Correct. Yeah, and then you have your ghouls and your oscillated for your world slam.
World slam. And those are South American birds.
South America. That's my next challenge.
I hope you go.
Yeah.
I hope you do, that's for sure. All right. Well, I need to tell the listeners that the Senate Bill 619, which was the Wildlife Management and Sustainability Act in 2013, got stalled in the House committee. And along with that, I needed to tell them that it is actually STD Awareness Month here in April. There are no STDs in Maryland, just so you know.
That's good.
If you're referring to sincere and truthful delegates, there are no STDs here in Maryland when it comes to the General Assembly.
I agree with you.
And we'll just leave it go at that for now.
That's
we'll get into that a little bit later. Maybe next week we'll tell the folks what happened. But very disappointing to know that we had the votes on the floor to pass that bill that would have, increased hunting licenses. But you've got youth hunters, right? You've got youth hunters. You know, in Maryland, the way it works, and you've had two girls, and you've paid $10.50 for their license. They bow hunt with you.
Yes.
That's a $6 bill. They muzzleloader hunt with you.
Yes.
That's a $6 bill. Had they waterfowl hunted with you, that's another $9 bill.
They do.
If they had a bonus buck tag, that's another $10.
Correct.
And since you don't trap, of course, but if you did, it'd be another $5. So you got 6, 6, 9, 10, and 5. Under the Wildlife Management Sustainability Act, all those stamps would have gone away, and you would have only paid $10.50 for any junior hunting license.
You know, I think it's important now that we understand that we talk all the time about our kids, our youth. And the question is, what are we really doing in the outdoors sincerely to promote the outdoors and get them involved in the outdoors? You know, and I'm not saying anything disrespectful to the NWTF, but we talk about the Jake's program, which is a phenomenal program.
Yep.
But unfortunately, we go to the NWTF banquets a lot of times and we don't see no kids. And we really need to.
Not just NWTF. Yeah, it's all the conservation groups.
Yeah, and we really need to get on board and really promote the kids and get them out there. There's so much they can learn. You know, I've had several guys tell me, if you give a kid a fishing pole and a shotgun and teach him how to hunt and fish, he'll stay out of a lot of trouble when he gets, to be in those teenage years when there's so many things out there that really try to take a hold of his time. So
that's,
I think,
true.
It's important that we really get those kids out there and spend some time with them.
Yep, that's exactly right. You're exactly right. And the sad part of this legislation that failed was that we had a commitment from Wildlife and Heritage Service, a written commitment, that funds would be dedicated to promoting recruitment and retention programs for youngsters. And it was none of that mattered. This General Assembly was so beat up with, you know, wind, offshore wind and death penalty and, assaulting our Second Amendment rights and the gas tax. That's going to be helpful to you and I that spend a lot of time on the road, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think we want to get into that today either.
No, we don't want to get into that today. But I had to bring it up to say that the bill that would benefit our wildlife did not come out of committee and did fail, even though we had the votes on the floor. There was last count at a couple hours before sine die was 85 votes. All they had to do was let it out of committee, and it didn't come out. So we'll talk about that in more detail. Let's talk about what you want to talk about, which is your youth program. We had talked a little bit about this last time you were here, but to review and for people that didn't hear the last time, you actually purchased some property up in Western Maryland.
We did. Back in June of 2012, we were able to finally kind of reach a goal of mine, which was to purchase a fairly large tract of ground where we can turn it into an outreach center for kids that come from dysfunctional families or special need kids or even men that have just really gone through a tough time and just really need to be encouraged in the outdoors. And fortunately, you know, dreams are made to come true. And so we weren't going to use it last year during deer season, but things were going so well and we had so many requests that we did use it during deer season. Now this is our first event for turkey. The birds are there, and what's really cool is not the adjacent, but landowners around that area have gotten involved in our vision, and they've opened up some of their farms too, so it's allowed us to take, we'll have three kids, but one of the requirements is their dads have to come with them, and these kids have never killed a turkey before, never turkey hunted before. So it's going to be a really, really good experience.
So it's more than just show up that morning. I mean, you've got the facilities there to house them and feed them and and you know, have a little interaction, fellowship with that, the fathers and the sons and the families.
Right. The whole idea is to get these fathers and sons to build a relationship together and kind of just spend some time in the outdoors together. And you're right, Alan, it does start before Saturday. We'll actually be starting on Wednesday. Wednesday evening we have orientation. They'll come in, and we've got a few things for them that we'll give to them and all. And some of the local companies have been really generous to give the kids some of the gifts for them. I think it's going to be like Christmas for them. And then on Thursday we've got we're going to do a demonstration with them on how to set up decals. They're going to build their own turkey calls. They're going to pattern their turkey guns. Mark Koch from the Paralyzed Vets, he'll be coming up to help them build their turkey calls. And on Friday we'll have a trap set. Trap shoot set up for them, and then we got a fishing trip planned. And then on Saturday morning, we're going to listen to the turkeys gobble.
That's good. That's good. Well, you know, our buddy from Arace Transportation up there in York, Pennsylvania, John Arace, was gracious enough to donate a shotgun.
He was, and yeah, we want to really say thank you to him today, because that gun will go to great use for these kids. And we just finished last week. I've been up there probably 2 or 3 days a week for the last several weeks, getting everything ready, locating the birds, patterning the birds. And, you know, we have the trap range is now set up and ready to go with a trap machine built in a trap house. So it's ready to go as well. So we've really been, you know, putting things together. But just goes to show you, Alan, that dreams are made to come true. You know, 15 years ago, I believe God laid a vision on my heart to develop a place like this. And for 15 years, we've been buying and selling real estate here and there, and you know, not making a lot on the real estate, but we took all those finances and put it into a fund, and finally just got to the place where the right place, the right opportunity, the right door opened. And the gentleman that we purchased the ground from, he's seen our vision too and helped us out, and it's all coming together. But our whole goal is that we can use this facility to impact people's lives in the outdoors.
Nothing wrong with that, brother. Nothing at all. Well, good luck on that as far as the Turkey Day is concerned. And well, you know, I said good luck. I'm not a real believer in luck.
No, I'm not either.
It's just something to say. You've been blessed through the years. I mean, we've talked to you about your TV show, which, you know, that went as far as we could go with it.
Yep.
We've been on that TV show, and you just... it was a launching pad for you. Some of the things that you're involved with. I know some of the pro staff that you're on. You're still on PSC Archery, is that right?
Mossy Oaks.
Mossy Oaks, yeah. Pro staff. You're the regional guy, and that has a lot of connections. And that's good. I mean, those are the kind of things that you're working towards. And I think this is maybe not the total culmination of the whole thing, but it's a big step on the way.
Well, you know, there's a scripture in Revelation that says when one door closes, another door will open.
Well, you're not kidding.
We're no, you know, it says that some doors would, a door that no man can open, God can open, and that's what's happened, and we're just going to walk through it.
Absolutely. Time for us to take a little break, and it's time for me to tell the folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, you could win great prizes. You, Tracy, could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, or prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. And now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or even a crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center or check the fishing rule book, or you can visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That website again is www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Well, I hope so. See, you're lucky if you're a fisherman.
You get that right, especially me.
Especially me. All right, we'll be right back after these messages. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and
Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex spray-on bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are not taking any phone calls today. The show is pre-recorded, so we appreciate you listening. And we've got Tracy Groves. We're talking about turkey hunting, today being the Youth Turkey Day here in Maryland. And, Tracy, we've had some awful warm weather this week. I mean, Wednesday was in the 90s. We had a little rain come in. Any ideas what that might do to the birds this morning or, you know, Saturday morning?
Yeah, you know, Alan, the turkey are a little bit different than deer. To some degree, they don't necessarily operate off of the moon phase as much as the whitetails do, but weather does play a major part in their breeding cycle. I was in Florida last week trying to get my Osceola, and never did I expect when I get there it'd be 31 degrees in the morning the first day, 32 degrees the second day, 33 degrees the next day. I didn't take the clothes for that, so you can imagine I sat and shivered for quite a while, but a heavy frost. And so that shut the birds completely down. And back in February, they had almost a month of seasonal warm weather in Florida. It was 75 and 80 degrees, so that triggered their breeding cycle away early. Same thing it did here last year. This year, our season is right on schedule the way it should be. So the weather does play a part in that. And, you know, one of the things that concerns me a little bit about Saturday's hunt is on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you've got temperatures in the high 70s to mid 80s.
90 on
high.
Yeah,
high 80s today, maybe hit 90. And then on Saturday, they're calling for it to drop down into the low 60s. So a 20 to 30 degree temperature drop can cause the birds to clam up for a little bit. But then in the afternoon, that's where your afternoon hunt should get a lot better. So my personal opinion about turkeys, and, you know, everybody has their own opinions, and turkeys are completely different. I mean, major difference from one day to the next. Because there's such a small breeding cycle, breeding window, the weather plays a major part in their breeding cycle.
So, one good thing about the Youth Turkey Day, you can actually hunt all day.
You can. And this year, it's actually Saturday and Sunday.
Right, in the counties that have turkey hunting.
Correct. Yep. No, we won't be hunting on Sunday, but this is just my personal feeling. We don't hunt birds late in the evening because I don't want to mess them up going back to the roost.
Right.
So we'll hunt in the morning, and then if need be, we'll hunt to about 3:30 or 4 and then call it from there.
Yes, on the youth turkey hunt on April 14th, it is that Sunday is coming tomorrow, April 14th. You can hunt private land in Calvert, Caroline, Charles, Dorchester, and St. Mary's County. So basically, southern Maryland and Dorchester and Caroline on the eastern shore. The youngsters can hunt those days. And again, that's 1/2 hour before sunrise to sunset for the junior hunt. Then the season opens on the 18th. Next week, and that runs till May 9th. You're allowed to hunt through May 9th. You're allowed to hunt 1/2 hour before sunrise to noon, and then the 10th through the 23rd, the last 2 weeks of the season, again, you're allowed to hunt all day long.
You notice they listed that youth hunt and then hunt. It's really youth hunt and big kids hunt.
Yeah, well, right. you got big kids.
Because the 18th, it's all the big kids. And
that's
on
right.
The 14th,
yeah.
It's all the little
that's
kids.
That's right, exactly right. And if you're going out with your kid today or your child, and if you're going to participate in the youth hunt, you got to remember no guns for the adults.
Yeah,
but you do have to be licensed.
You do have to be licensed. That's correct. You have to be licensed if you're going to participate in the hunt. You have to be licensed. Now, one thing I did find out, Alan, this year, working with the father and sons that we have come in, if you have if you're guiding,
mm-hmm.
the guide has to be licensed, but the father that's coming from another state does not.
As an observer.
As an observer.
Right.
But whoever is doing the guiding and the calling must be licensed, even if they are from out of state.
Yes, because you're actually pursuing the bird.
Correct.
So you're involved in the hunt.
The person that has observation cannot have any calls.
Right.
In his possession, no decoys in his possession. He can't carry a decoy in his possession. And lining all this up with kids coming from out of state, it was kind of I didn't realize that third person could not even carry a decoy.
Mm-hmm.
So legally, he cannot participate in the hunt in any way. He can be there as an observer,
yep.
But he can't have any calls or decoys or anything of that nature.
You have to cover him up with brush, right?
Cover up.
You have to cover up the father with brush.
This time of year, the way the foliage is, that's probably a real good idea. Because, I mean, you know how hard turkey hunting is anyway, and you think about it, you're going to have a guide, then you're going to have a youngster that may have never turkey hunted before, and then you're going to have a father that never turkey hunted before.
Right.
Or maybe doesn't even hunt.
Right.
Trying to keep him sitting still with no foliage. We're going to be hunting in the, you know, western Maryland.
And no leaves
no
on
leaves
the trees, no
trees
brush.
It's going to be real interesting. That's where a ground blind does come in really in a play for a youth hunt. It's definitely a big advantage to it, for sure.
I never hunted much out of a ground blind until this past deer season, and I tell you what, I like them.
Yeah.
I like them almost as much as a tree stand, maybe a little more because, you know, you get up in that I won't say more. You get me up in my climber, I'm in heaven. But that ground blind is pretty impressive.
Yes. You know what's really amazing is how close those birds will get to that without seeing you. The key is camo face or black face and then, you know, black top.
Yeah.
But they can't see in there. I mean, we've had birds at 3 and 4 yards in front of that blind, and they don't even know you're there.
So. You know, I'm seeing that trend, and where it kind of keyed me on that was a couple of years ago. I was in Wyoming on an antelope hunt, and the inside of those, the outside of the blind doesn't matter what it looks like if you're on a water hole. The antelope get used to it. I mean, once it's up there for, you know, a couple of days or weeks or whatever, the antelope can. They've got to go to water, so they come into the water hole no matter what structure sitting there. And these blinds in Wyoming, there's like 20-some of them on the ranch, all on water holes. They're white. They're painted white. They're no camo or anything like that. They're just big white structure sitting out there. But the inside is black, so they can't see inside. So, you know, with the black shirt, the black hat, and the black face mask, and you know, that type of thing, it's pretty interesting because it does cut down on your movement. I mean,
sure.
You sit in there in camo, you can stick out like a sore thumb.
Correct.
But if you got the black, you know, the black shirt on and that type of thing. Well, what they've done with those blinds is when they close them up for the winter, you know, you've got a window that's open. When they close that window for the winter, that window's painted black.
Yeah.
So it looks the same all year round. But But the ground blind is extremely effective. We took three deer out of the ground blind this year. So.
Yeah. The thing about
turkeys and fox, I mean, everything walks right by.
Yeah, the thing about the ground blind you have to be careful of is, you know, although the windows are open, especially when you're turkey hunting, you need to have the windows in the back closed because if you move across from one window to the other, then they can see that movement through from one window to the other. So you have to be careful not to cross from, you know, the windows when you're moving with turkey hunting. But other than that, they're good for kids. They're good for adults. They're great for wheelchairs. You just set the wheelchair guy there and then flop the blind right over top of him. It works out really
well.
There
you go. That's right. Yeah. Now, what do you use when you get into blind? Do you take a shooting stick or a tripod or something in there to shoot off of?
Yeah, it depends on, you know, who I'm with. There's a Bass Pro Redhead has a chair now. It's called Blackout, and it's a small camping chair. It only weighs like 2.5 pounds that goes over your shoulder. I use those to sit on. And then on some of the kids, the new blinds, there's actually a bar that goes right across where the window is, so you can actually lay the gun right on the bar. If not, then I use a shooting stick from Primos. Primos is shooting sticks. It's great for kids because it's got a little push button. You can raise and lower just pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it works out really well.
Yeah, we pretty much concentrated on the bog pod on deer season, but you don't want that red showing up in the turkey blind or anywhere near you.
Yeah, they will see it.
Yeah, they'll see red. Turkeys and all birds, of course, see color. And that's why you've got to be extremely well camouflaged. And, you know, I kid my grandson about make sure you take your orange hat, you know.
Yeah, right.
That's not going to happen. No, that's not going to happen.
Now, of course, my dad, you know, we did go goose hunting one time, and he went out and decided he thought he was supposed to have orange on, so he put his orange hat on while we were goose hunting. And
how'd that work out for him?
It didn't work out very well.
No.
The hunters that were with him made sure he took it off pretty quick.
I would think so. I mean, I don't even like – I even use a face mask when I'm waterfowl hunting, you know, just to – yeah. My big, round, shiny face. So,
just remember when you go turkey hunting on Saturday, Alan, it's the soft calls it's the sweet, soft calls that call in the wind.
I'm not going to be calling.
No, your guide's going to be calling.
My guide, quote, is going to be calling, yeah. So Crusher's looking forward to it and actually invited me and Jacob, which I thought was great. So we're going to be in the blind with him down in Anne Arundel County. Hopefully that'll be Jacob's first turkey. You know, I've still never killed one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. We've got that piece of property in Frederick County that does have birds on it. We've seen a few nice longbeards on there. So I'll be out there probably Thursday morning.
It's tough. A lot of people, you know, don't realize the dedication it takes to harvest a turkey.
See, I think the whole deal's humorous. I just think it's funny to go out there.
It is. You know? It is because one day you could go sit under a tree and you not hear a bird gobble nowhere. And the next day, they're lighting the woods up. Sounds like a symphony or orchestra going on. And the birds were there the whole time. It's just that day, the high pressure, the low pressure, the weather, it all makes a big, big difference. And that's why you have to, with turkey hunting, to be successful year after year, you have to be in the woods as very much as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in a 30-day season, I'm normally in the woods 28 of those 30 days. You know, so you get up.
You are dedicated.
Get
no
up,
question
hunt,
about
go
that.
Go to work.
Yeah, so, no question about that.
But just remember, softer sometimes is better because so many times people will go out and they want to use every call that's in their bag.
Oh yeah.
They want to hit it as hard as they can and as loud as they can, and that's not the way it is.
Softer is better, huh?
Softer, especially first thing in the morning.
So I've always been told and learned from you a little bit that, you know, you want to get that tree yelp going first,
yelp.
A real soft yelp, just a kind of a slow, low, you know, kind
just
of
just to let them know you're there.
Yeah, you're there, you're still up in the tree, you're just waking up, you're yawning, you're scratching, you're just, you know, hey, it's morning, I'm just waking up type of deal.
Yeah, my turkey hunting has changed a lot over the last 6 or 7 years. I used to hear a lot of birds and get a lot of birds to gobble, but didn't harvest a lot of birds. I mean, I harvest my share, but in the last 5 or 6 years, I've been able to harvest a lot more than I had in the past. And I think it's because I changed my style of hunting the turkeys. I like to now let them gobble on their own try to get them to, you know, gobble on their own in the morning. And then once I hear that first gobble, then I'll start, just give them a soft tree up just to let them know that I'm there. And then I shut up until I know it's close to time to fly down. And then we take it home from there.
I've turkey hunted with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I hunted with the old Tracy or the new Tracy.
Well, we had a bird at 40 yards one time, and we had a bird at 40 yards a second time, and unfortunately it just didn't work out. So the birds were there, so something was right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're right.
I do know the safety on that Mossberg's awful loud.
You have to sit still, and you can't wear white and camos.
I didn't wear any white.
No, it was just worse than a lot of times.
Oh, man. All right, then. Hey, I told you I never killed a turkey. There's probably a good reason for that. Let me tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop. You know, they're ready now for striper season. Coming up soon, it's spring trophy season. They've got all the trolling baits and all the bucktails and parachutes and umbrella rigs that you could need, want, or imagine. They've got great deals on Shakespeare rod and reel combos, great deals on pen reels, and they'll take care of your winding your line on your spools too. But you know, if you're just fishing for crappies or perch or something like that, they've got trout. They've got all that stuff too, and including live bait. And if you're a turkey hunter, of course, Clyde Sports Shop is your headquarters for Browning. Let's talk about that BPS pump shotgun available in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo. It's got bottom ejection, a DuraTouch armor coating, and 3-inch Invector Plus choke tubes. It also comes in 10-gauge if you're looking for that. And, of course, if you're into the shooting sports, trying to get it out there, that 725 Satori Sporting Clay shotgun is great for skeet, trap, and sporting clays. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 242-6108. The fishing hotline is 247-FISH. We'll be right back after this.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 32nd Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harbor de Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 3rd, Saturday, May 4th, and Sunday, May 5th. Admission is free. Over 120 exhibitors and artists display paintings and prints, sculptures and carvings, photography and sportsman's collectibles. There's great food, retriever dog demonstrations, and much more. The annual live auction is 5:30 p.m. on Saturday at the Activity Center. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the Activity Center. Poverty Grace commemorates the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812 the same weekend. Celebrate the bicentennial by attending the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake at the Decoy Museum on May 3rd, 4th, and 5th with free admission to this family-friendly event. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739. See you at the Decoy Festival.
Your triceps are only as tough as your mind is. Your legs are only as tough as your mind is. Your abs are only as tough as your mind is. Your chest is only as tough as your mind is. Your heart is only as tough as, well, you get it. Enter the world of the U.S. Navy SEALs. Can you rise to the challenge of completing SEAL-inspired missions? Register to see if you can at SEALBrotherhood.com.
When will there be indictments in the illegal bugging of Mitch McConnell's offices in Kentucky? On the next Tom Marr Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a mini shell over the top of an old bird dog. And it backed a burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun.
Hey, we're back with Tracy Groves of Heartwood Outdoors. Tracy, tell us about your website, first of all. What's on Heartwood Outdoors?
The Heartwood Outdoors website, as well as Facebook, it has a list of our sponsors. It has a page on there, actually the progression of the new outreach center. If you want to kind of keep up the tabs of what's going on there, you watch it on the website or on our Facebook. And the website, you know, talks about donations if you'd like to help out with what we're doing. You know, a lot of people ask me, what is Heartwood Outdoors? It's an outdoor ministry team that ministers to sportsmen in the outdoors. And our goal is to build, encourage, and impact lives in the outdoors. We have officially applied for our nonprofit status. We were pre-approved, so now we're just waiting for the final paperwork to come in. But we'd love for people to visit us on the website. Let us know the goods and bads. That's the only way you get better is for people
to... Oh, you shouldn't ask me that.
For people to, you know, just check us out on the website or the Facebook page. And
it's
also
Heartwood Outdoors.
Heartwood. Just think of your heart. Heartwood.
Yeah. Yeah. Heartwood what, though?
HeartwoodOutdoors.com.
.com. HeartwoodOutdoors.com. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, the cool thing, too, is when there, you know, there's a new page that's coming on soon about the news that's going on. Recently, there was a couple of YouTube videos released by Mossy Oak about turkey calling. There was a couple of articles that was wrote about Heartwood Outdoors and turkey hunting that I was interviewed by Mossy Oak guys. So it's kind of cool. Just check it out, HeartwoodOutdoors.com.
Yeah, I'll do that. And you're on Facebook. Did you like me on Facebook yet? Did you like Maryland Hunting Quarterly on Facebook yet?
My daughter handles all that because
see,
I'm not a
you and I are in
guy.
The same boat. I've got Laura up there and Frederick handling all that, yeah. And I don't do... I haven't even been on my own site, so I have no clue what's on there, to be honest with you.
I don't feel so bad then because my youngest daughter, Lindsay, is the computer guru, and so she handles all of the Facebook stuff for me.
Yeah.
And she tells me who the likes are, you know, what I'm supposed to do. And then every time we do something like this, she says, Dad, did you mention Facebook and the Heartwood Outdoors page? And if I didn't,
you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
I know. I get the same stuff, you know, because Laura listens to the podcast, and she says, well, thank you for mentioning Facebook. Well, Laura,
There you go.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show has a Facebook page. The Maryland Hunting Quarterly has a Facebook page. Maryland Loves Crabs has a Facebook page. Ellis Outdoors LLC has a Facebook page. So
I'm not into that, but if you don't have it nowadays, you're kind of in deep trouble.
I know, and that's something because people want to know. People want to know, but that's the way it goes. All right, we were talking about, off the air, we were talking about shotgun shells, and we were talking about guns in particular, and I said I hope Jacob's able to use that 20-gauge to take his turkey this morning if that's what's supposed to happen. And you assured me that that was no problem, and I said, you know, probably ought to get him a full choke tube for choke tube for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Alan, the turkey guns have come a long way in the last couple of years. There's a lot of gentlemen, you know, 3.5-inch shell Mossbergs were real big 8-10 years ago, and then Browning came on the scene with some absolutely phenomenal guns. The BPS is what I shoot a Mossberg 835, an old 835, and then my favorite gun right now is my BPS, Browning BPS. But a lot of guys are going back to a 20-gauge gun with a 3-inch shell. They're doing their barrels, forcing cones, and polishing the barrels on a 20-gauge. And out to about 40 to 45 yards, you can get as good, if not better, performance out of a 20-gauge as you can a 12-gauge. Mm-hmm. You know, as well as I do on a 3.5-inch shell, you don't shoot too many of them before you have to take a break.
Well, you know, I've had both shoulders operated on. The right shoulder, you know, was particularly a long recovery program on that, coming back as far as rehab. And what I did the day before, well, a couple days before surgery, was went rabbit hunting. And, you know, I hit that shoulder so hard with one of those shots at a rabbit. Yeah. I had dropped the gun. I mean, it was hard. And deer season was especially hard. But, you know, I've gone to a 20-gauge. I just bought a new 20-gauge. I bought a Franke and the Affinity. And it's, you know, look. You can only take so much pounding with so much shooting, you know that. And after a lifetime of doing that, and it was time. So we'll see how that happens. But the 20-gauge, I'm impressed with the performance. Jacob pounded some geese with that thing.
Yeah,
you know,
they've come a long way in the last couple of years. You know, people are realizing that when you shoot as much, you know, trap and skeet and that sort of thing, a 20-gauge does perform very well. And, you know, most guys have a misconception that every choke tube shoots the same, and that's not true at all. I have an opportunity to probably shoot 5 or 6, sometimes up to 8 or 10 choke tubes, new choke tubes a year, and you would be surprised at what the differences are. I currently am shooting an Indian Creek. I've found that performs the best. I can take a Winchester extended or a heavy shot, heavy 13, a number 6, 2-ounce load, on a 3-inch shell and 2.25-ounce load on a 3.5-inch shell. And those two shells always perform very well out of any choke tube that I shoot. Most of the time, I'd say 95% of the time. This past week, I ran into a problem with a Remington 870 that I just could not get to pattern at all. And that's not unusual.
Right.
You know, you just have to find the choke tube that fits it. And we finally did a jelly head. Worked really well in that gun, which normally, under normal circumstances, Indian Creek will outperform just about every choke tube with those two shells.
Right.
And, you know, those shells are very expensive, but at the same time, if you have a bird stand at 45 yards, and if it's that moment of truth, you know, an extra $3 per shell is not necessarily
That's like buying cheap fishing line or cheap fishing hook. You know, that's what you need to do the job, you know, and like an old guide in Florida told me one time, he says, you all Yankees come down here and you got cheap line and, you know, these fish are big and, you know, that's the thing that connects you to the fish is that line and you can't, you know, you can't skimp on line. So
every time I shoot a cheap shell and I miss my game that I'm shooting at, I was like, why did I bother? Right.
Yeah,
I should have went the extra $2 or whatever.
Yep.
You get what you pay for. But it's definitely important to pattern those guns. You know, I patterned a Browning this past week at a guy is shooting, and he thought it shot really well. And my shot was 10 inches low and way left. And he was wanting to know why I was missing birds. And, well, I mean, there it was. And he had never patterned his gun before. He had never shot his gun. He thought it's a shotgun. Just go shoot it. But every shell does shoot different out of a gun. So you have to make sure you do that.
Yeah.
My gun of choice right now is either the old, like 10-year-old, 12-year-old Mossberg 835 or the new Browning BPS.
Mm-hmm.
What those guns are doing with the right choke tube is just unbelievable.
Good. Yeah. Well, you shoot the 12-gauge BPS or the 20?
A 12 gauge.
You're shooting
my
a 12?
My daughters are actually shooting a 12 gauge as well. And what I've done to help out the kids is I put a scope on it, mm-hmm. which I thought I would never put a scope on a turkey gun. But last year, I used my daughter's gun that she shoots, and she was having a problem missing turkey. She was shooting over top of them, and I know why. She was just lifting her head up out of the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally put a scope on there from Leopold that it has a little circle in it. And for kids, all you do is just put that turkey right in that, the turkey's head right in that circle and pull the trigger, and it's over. So last year I used it just to see what it was like and absolutely fell in love with it. So this year I put a scope on my Browning, my BPS. So now I'm shooting a scope on both my turkey guns. And
well, you hit 40 a couple years ago, right?
I did hit 40 a couple years
ago. Yeah, you're not wearing glasses yet, but that scope's
they're laying over there. My reading glasses are laying right there in case I need them. So, yeah, it's amazing what happens.
Isn't that something 40. When you hit 40, man? I'm telling you, it all goes.
Climb trees.
You know, when you hit 50, after that, it's all maintenance, man. That's about it. So.
But it does make a difference. Yeah. The scope does make a difference. And one of my big fears was, you know, if I needed to shoot a turkey on a run or in flight, could I do it? And
well, that's when the instincts take over.
It does. And you know how I practiced that was I shoot it through a clay bird and tried to shoot it through a scope, and I actually could. So I thought, well, I can shoot a turkey on a run. And last week in Florida, that kind of was the case, and it worked out all right.
And the birds getting out. They were getting out of Dodge, huh?
They were getting out of Dodge. Somebody moved or talked when they shutting in.
Oh, that's...
They were turning around and on their way gone. But
yeah, that happens.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah. So, well, okay, good. So, just as a review, for kids, the first encounters with turkeys are going to be good ones if the weather holds.
If the weather holds, they should be good.
Because it's just right for the breeding cycle of a turkey for the kids. And it usually always is. Earlier is usually a little better.
Yeah.
Then what happens, though? I mean, now next week, you know, the big kids season starts on the 18th. So then we should still be in that same pretty good pattern on the 18th, don't you think?
It'll depend on where the birds are in their breeding cycle. Turkeys have what we call transitions, transition 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
The first transition is when they're looking for their harem, they're out gobbling, they're out looking, they're gathering up all their hens.
And that's where they are now.
And that's where they are right now. And then they go into the what we call, what hunters known as henned up. And so they already have their harem.
They're actively breeding. They're not seeking birds.
They're waiting for the breeds to come in. So they have gathered their harem. They might have 8 to 10 hens with them. There's no reason to gobble because now they are roosting with the hens. So there's no reason to gobble. And then transition 3 is when those hens go to nest. The longbeards are back out looking for more hens to breed.
So that's where the afternoon part of the hunt comes in. Last couple weeks.
Normally in Maryland, you never see all three phases of the transition. You'll see 2 and 3. With the kids, they get to see all three transitions because of the way the season falls on a normal year.
So even though we're 5 days apart, things could dramatically change in 5 days.
Absolutely. Most of these cycles are on a 10 to 12-day cycle. So what will happen after transition 1, everybody gets frustrated because no birds are gobbling. They can't call anything in. That's the hend-up stage. That generally lasts about 8 to 10 days. So you're going to have an 8 to 10 day.
So the first 2 weeks of the season.
The first week and a half of the big kid season.
Yeah.
Generally, people get frustrated, and that's when they quit. In Maryland, most of the time, the best hunting I find in Maryland is is May the 8th to the 16th. That kind of area is normally the best. That's when I normally harvest a big mature monarch bird.
And that's because they've gone through phase 2. Now they're in phase 3.
That's correct.
The hens have gone to nest. They're still looking to breed.
They're still looking to
more
breed.
More hens, so they're more susceptible to calling.
Correct. And one of the big ways of telling that is in Maryland, not the Midwest states, but in Maryland, it's tough to get a bird to gobble in the evening.
Right.
But when those birds start gobbling in the evening, they are in most of the time they're in transition 3 because they have gone to roost, and now they're wanting to let the other hens know where he's at. And so he starts gobbling in the evening to let the hens know where he's at. When he has the hens with him, there's no reason to gobble.
Right.
So each transition is different. Also, in transition 1, the gobblers will all roost away from the hens. they'll roost away from the hens.
Okay.
If you can separate, get in between them, you're like gold.
Right.
In transition two, the gobbler will roost with the hens. Transition three, the gobblers are back to roosting by themselves. So the toughest time to hunt, I never used to hunt transitions. I used to just hunt. And now what I do, if I'm going to go on a trip, if I'm going to go out of state on a turkey hunt, I try to schedule my out-of-state hunts when Maryland is in transition two and New York is in transition one. Or when New York is in transition two, then I may go to Oklahoma where transition one and three is in full gear. So what I do now is I try to, if I'm going to go out of state on a hunt, I try to schedule it where I'm leaving Maryland when it's in transition two, because trying to pull a gobbler from 10 hens is really tough.
Okay. So you got to, if you're hunting around the country, you got to know which stage those particular birds are. And we're not going to get into whether it varies between Merriam's and you know, Easterns and that type of thing. They all go through that same transition stage.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
And Nightinghale writes a book on explaining these transitions.
Okay.
And, you know, you can call someone that lives in that state and ask them what the birds are doing. And
right.
By them telling you what the birds are doing, you can tell what transition they're in.
Gotcha. All right. Very cool. Very cool. We want to let the listeners know that when we, since we are pre-recorded today, we're going to be going out of here just on a break of commercial messages. So we want you to stay tuned, because we've got DNR biologist Harry Hornick coming up in the next hour. And again, we'll be talking to him for about an hour on the spawning season of striped bass. We'll talk about striped bass management. You know, we're going to be talking about the juvenile survey. We're going to be talking about the low juvenile survey index from last year and how that's going to affect the fishing. So, striper fans, we want you to stay tuned, because we're going to leave these turkeys. I mean, we're going to leave Tracy behind, and we're going to talk about striped bass in the next hour. So, just keep in mind, we are pre-recorded today, and we welcome you to email us with your comments and questions and any information you might desire from the show at Ellis, my last name, at ellisoutdoors.com. Ellisoutdoors.com is where you'll find what we do, the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs, and the Outdoors and Radio Show. And you can listen to the podcast, too, 24/7, 365 on that website, ellisoutdoors.com. Heartwood Outdoors. .com is Tracy Grove's website and his ministry. And Tracy, we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thanks, Alan. Greatly do appreciate it. And I hope you know, God's favor is on you and your grandson this weekend. And the rest of the hunters out there, just be safe and have fun and enjoy the great outdoors.
Yeah, well, I always say, get out, stay safe. And that's what we say today. So we just ask you to stay tuned for the upcoming commercial messages. And we thank all of our sponsors for the Outdoors and Radio Show. Without them, it wouldn't be possible. When you hear their messages, we ask you to respond in kind. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Now, officially, you want to say it together? Get out.
Get out.
Stay out. And stay safe.
Enjoy another sunrise.
There you go. Thanks, Trademark.